Soundwords Tape Ministry, Queensland. It's now Saturday afternoon, the 4th of July, 1987. I'm at the Kallang Assembly for a weekend Bible study series with Mr. Jack Boynes from New South Wales. And the subject under consideration is the book of, or rather, chapter 8 of the book of Romans. And this is studies 3 and 4 on this cassette.
You have come. We are reading from chapter 8, verse 5, through to verse 9. We may go further this afternoon, but we shall just see. What we intend to do is to go to about, I suspect now to be about 3:15, and then we're going to have a break, and then we're going to come back at about 4:00 and have another session till about 5:00. I don't want to turn this other machine on too soon. So now, we are reading in chapter 8 of Romans at verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. You'll remember in verse 4 it says that those who are freed because they no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And in verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Now, the Lord will bless that passage to our hearts this afternoon. For those who haven't been with us, we are going through Romans 8. We're in this section here. These are the four major sections of the chapter that we've divided up: the testimony of salvation, the truth of sonship, the test of suffering, and the triumph of his love. And we've broken that down to these sections. The testimony of salvation. This morning we looked at the testimony of our salvation and what God has done for us and what he has done to save us. And now the implications are drawn of that, the ramifications in terms of the matters that pertain to life and death. And it's that we are particularly looking at this afternoon. How does this gospel work out for men and women, for boys and girls, for those who have life, the life of Christ in the Spirit, and those who have not? But of course, underlying that is also a further implication that it is possible to live as though you weren't a Christian. And you mustn't imagine that you can live in this kind of hybrid halfway house and not have implications and not have ramifications. It does. Very much so. That's why the apostle said, those who walk according to the flesh, no, but rather according to the Spirit. He does show that there are two ways that can be chosen, even by believers, unfortunately. Someone said that the non-believer has to choose between heaven and hell, and the believer has to choose between this world and the next. But they do have to choose. There's no question about it. There's a choice that's got to be made. Well, it's this second section that we're looking at this afternoon in the matter of life and death. It's in this section here now that we've got to consider. The apostle is talking about two classes of people: those who live according to the flesh and those who live according to the Spirit. Now, therefore, it's possible to live in either of these. We can be those who are motivated and dominated and directed by the Spirit of God. That Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, in which we're sensitive to the Spirit, we're surrendered to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are going on in a course. You'll notice this word live or walk has the idea of this is the habitual course that we take.
But of course there are those who choose not to live in the spiritual realm, and that does not mean to say that you're so heavenly minded you're no earthly use. On the contrary, it means that your whole mind set is in terms of what the Spirit has revealed and what the Scripture does teach. Whereas there are those who set their mind on earthly things, to quote from another epistle, and not heavenly. And their whole parameter of thinking is according to their own desires, according to their own world in which they live, the world of sight and sound and touch and taste. And the whole thing is on a very physical, very selfish plane. Now the apostle states that there are these two classes of people, and we've got to face it. The old Scottish ditty put it not too bad when it says, you take the low road and I'll take the high road and I'll be in Scotland before you. The only problem is that when you take the low road in Christian things, you are not going to achieve your goals by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, it may mean that you don't arrive at all, because I think that underneath this passage is a very solemn warning that you can so live according to the flesh that it will be seen in that day you're not a Christian at all. You take Lot, unless the New Testament had told us, as we were remarking over the lunch break, unless the New Testament had told us that Lot was justified, you and I would never have believed it. And of course the final say is with God. Thank God for that. But in terms of the way he lived and the way he conducted himself, you would have never have ever dreamed he was a believer. Not in a month of Sunday, would you? No way. Well, still in verse 5, we've got to face up to the fact that there are two tendencies in people too. There's those whose mindset is on the things of the flesh, and those whose mindset is on the things of the Spirit. In other words, it is possible in the first to think in terms of those who are believers, in the second sense of it, living according to the Spirit are believers. Those who live according to the flesh are unbelievers. But there is a mindset too that can develop in the believer, where the mindset of the believer is on earthly things and on the things of the flesh. And the mindset of the believer is on spiritual things. Spiritual values predominate. You say, well, that makes it very difficult. Well, of course, it is difficult. And I believe it's divine. It's divinely ordained that this would be so, so that we would have to sort out our priorities and get to the business. Otherwise, we would be left to ourselves in terms of what we ought to do and what we ought to choose. I want to ask you this afternoon, where's your mindset? You come to read Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and he's got a man who he calls the man with a muckrake, mucking in the byre. You know what it means? He's down there amongst the pigs, and he's all the time trying to get the mud and the muck out of it. He's so bent over that he can't raise his head. Over his head stands an angel with a crown, wanting to put it on his head. But he's so bent, and his mindset is so much on things of the earth, that he can't lift up his head, so the angel can't put the crown on his head. Now I suggest to you that Mr. Bunyan, John Bunyan, really did understand that it's possible to get a mindset on earthly things. We tend to continue to be preoccupied with our desires.